This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi there, folks. I'm Tom Perry, an Agile consultant, and like to introduce you to the world of impediments.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Tom Perry, and we're going to talk about those dastardly little impediments. At the beginning, you were talking about how you gave a talk on a topic you don't know of, and I'm told you also do trainings in this space of that you don't know. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I've been doing, you know, you and I both have been doing Agile for quite some time now, right? And one day I put into a slide deck a slide that said, so what problems do you see, or what did I get wrong? Because I found that we, you know, you do this stuff and people will sit there and receive what you're doing. And they'll listen to you, but oftentimes they're sitting there thinking, yeah, but this won't work where I'm at, right? This won't work at my place. And, or this guy's an idiot. And all of which are valid responses, but I wasn't getting those responses. I was getting head nods and, you know, that was that. And I didn't want that. And I started to realize that some of it was coming across as the expert. They weren't going to disagree with the expert, right? They're not going to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. After all, I've been doing this for 25 years now. Who wants to argue with the expert? And I started to do two things. I started to start off the conversation with a confession of my own incompetence. You know, I've been a scrum master, a coach, a trainer for X number of years, and I have screwed this up a lot. You know, and I think that and there are some people who get very upset with me for doing that, who are like, no, you're supposed to convey that aura of expertise. You're supposed to command the room. And I come in and say, hi there, I'm an idiot, right? You know, I have screwed this up. Time and time again. And tell you what, I want you to ask me the next, as we're going through this, and you I talk to you about story points, for example, I want you to say, Tom, how have you screwed that up? and I will tell you five different ways to screw up doing estimating with story points. I can do that. And you know what? They loosened up immediately.
Oh, wow.
You know, they had a lot of fun with that. They're like, okay, Tom, how'd you screw that up? Well, let me tell you about that, right? And it pushes me into storytelling mode, which is a lot better mode than lecturing mode, you know? And so the combination of kind of confessing my own incompetence and putting a question mark at the end of what I just delivered to say, do you buy that? Do you really buy that, or is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Right? And those two things, you know, I don't think this is for everybody, but it works really well with me. It puts me in a very comfortable space where it really turns into a dialogue. It really turns into, okay, I heard you, Tom, but I really don't think that's going to work for me, or I really can't see how that's going to work. And you get into those stumper questions, which are really rich, really deep, and really intriguing. And everybody feels like they're engaged and taken seriously. And so, I can't get enough of it. But like I said, it's not for everybody, and I'm not, you know, it's, but, and there are certain customers it won't work with, I'm sure. Certain customers, I'm sure they want the expert, they want to be told how to do it. And that, you know, then I guess I have to play a different game. Where I like it the most and where I get the best conversations in the training have been when I tell them, I've messed this up a lot. Let me tell you how.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you're working in like improv techniques, basically. You're getting them to ask you, and then you have to.
I can't give the same training twice. You know, I, and increasingly although not exclusively, but increasingly, I've had a few engagements lately where I put up the PowerPoint deck on the screen and I start talking and never hit the advance button for the rest of the day. In other words, slide one just stays up there, right? And that's a great engagement. That's a great engagement where you're so you're having so much fun talking to folks that you never advance beyond slide one. You've got 200 PowerPoint slides of pure genius sitting there, and you never get through them. Yeah. You know, it's just the cover slide just stays right there, and that to me. I don't do it very often, but when it does happen, it's like, oh my God, that was a powerful, great training and had nothing to do with PowerPoint.
Cool. Yeah. I've noticed that effect sometimes when I haven't done it for a whole training, but when there's a conversation to be had about a topic and I may have materials on it, I sometimes just don't bring the materials and just use a whiteboard and
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That forces people to interact. They're not like, because when the slides come out, people are like, okay, I can relax and just absorb.
Evening mode.
And yeah. maybe they're daydreaming, maybe they're absorbing. Who knows what's going on? But if you bring out markers and you have dialogue, then everybody's mm-hmm. involved. So
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I really have been really enjoying the training side of things. Like I said, got material now on portfolio management and business agility and you know, foundations and other bits. And it has been, and I don't get me wrong, I make the world's best PowerPoints. Just between you and me, great PowerPoints. I can make an outstanding PowerPoint deck. People love my PowerPoint decks, but I'm not sharing them as much as I used to.
Cool. Yeah. Well, and also another thing, observation is that you are doing a multimodal presentation. Now you have the slides, but then somebody causes an interrupt. What's the improv part? And then they ask you a question mm-hmm. and then you, like you said, you move into storytelling mode. So that's a modal shift. People's mm-hmm. minds are now engaged because there's been a change and now they're paying mm-hmm. attention to the story. If they were starting to maybe they're starting to daze off a little bit. Now they're back because there's a new thing happening and they listen to the story and then you shift back to the slide. So that's another change. I do not have a degree in musical theory, but music tends to have a pattern, but it's not monotonous because if it's well done, because they there's a certain point where the artist goes, okay, now I need to do something different to keep them listening. Mm-hmm. And so there's a modal shift and that makes the person like pay attention.
I a good example of that is Freddie Hubbard's jazz song, The Straight Life. And in that song, what happens is it starts off with a very predictable, this is jazz, so it starts off with a very predictable rhythm, nothing to, you know, just a nice steady rhythm. And then he starts riffing on it. You know, he goes off and he starts taking, and he's gradually changing the rhythm until it's gone totally freeform, Art Nouveau, weird ass, I don't know where I am, I don't know, you know, I have no idea where he's headed. And then the thing I love about it is then he gradually kind of weaves back in the original elements of the tune until you're right back to the original rhythm. And then we take another instrument and we do the exact same thing. We're in this nice predictable place. We understand what's going to happen next. Everything feels very predictable. And then it drifts off into chaos and then it comes right back again. And so, yeah, I agree. I think music is a good metaphor. Jazz, certainly.
This is a special announcement. If you are listening to this in January of 2025, on the 29th at 2 ET, 2 Eastern Time, we're going to have a special event, and it's interactive and live. And it's not just some Zoom hoo-ha meeting or meetup. It's going to be a fun, engaging, due to the 4T platform. We're going to use this platform, and you get to help me run an interview with the founder of 4T. This will be a totally different experience that brings engagement to the next level. There'll be prompts, there'll be debates, and there'll be special prizes. We're going to talk to the founder of Forty about his product development journey. And here is a powerful question that I want you to think about and be prepared to discuss in this event. Here's the question. What do you think is more important, moving fast or moving perfectly? So have that in mind. Think about what your response will be. And we're not going to tell you the answer to that one. You're going to join us on the stage and tell us what you think. So to find the event link, if you follow me on the socials, it'll show up there. But also you can go to forti.io, F-O-R-T-I.io, and look for the Agile Thoughts thumbnail. We've got show notes for you, and they include links to yummy things that we talked about in this episode. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player if that's what you use to listen to the show. You just look into that part of your app and you can click and tap away to your heart's content. But if you're not using a podcast player, don't worry, we're not leaving you out. Just go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3 and there you will see the show notes. Next episode, more Tom Perry.
And that was an incredible opportunity. So now I'm in the C-suite of these enormous corporations working with these folks. That was tremendously exciting. And so I got to do agile transformation sort of at that very large scale. And that was a huge opportunity. And the more I did it, and again, this is back to the previous conversation, I screwed up a lot. You know, there were a lot of things. I mean, it was utterly terrifying sometimes to go in front of some of these executives and with a straight face tell them that you were going to transform their organization using Agile or Scrum or SAFe or whatever it was. Everybody wanted a different variation. Nothing was ever completely identical, even if it was SAFe.
What other mixins did you experience that were kind of weird and interesting?
I am a big fan of open space. And so there, you know, instead of doing traditional PI planning, for example, what if it was an open space event? Yeah. You know, it's not a huge leap, really.
Right.
You know, if you look at how, and that's, I think that's what Quentin Quartel is trying to do with Fast Agile.